This morning's lesson is taken from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10, and will be found on page 1183 of the Church Bible, found in the pews. It's entitled, Freedom from Human Relations Through Life with Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Amen.
Thank you, David. So we are back in this letter of Colossians. Chapter 1 of Colossians has been described as Paul's well done to the church. He thanks God for their faith, for their steadfastness, and Paul is deeply grateful to them for all that God's doing in their lives. So chapter 1 is well done. But then chapter 2 has been described as Paul's watch out. So, well done, but watch out. Why watch out? Because, well, there are grave dangers lurking around them. And I guess if for them, then for us as well. In chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, Paul has kind of set us up, kind of prepared us for this sense of danger to this young church and their faith. You see that in verses 1 to 5. Paul is agonizing over the church. He's struggling in prayer. And actually the word struggling is, I can't remember the Greek word, but it's from that we get the word agony, agonizing. Now why would Paul be agonizing over the church? Well, what does he want for the church? In short, I think we could say what he wants for them is that they would experience the fullness of all that Jesus is, and all that Jesus has done for them, and all that he's promised. And somehow Paul can see a threat to them experiencing that. There's a danger, and he fears that they won't experience all that God has for them. We see that in verse 4. He says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. I mean, what are we deluded by? What are we deceived by? Things that seem reasonable. Things that seem rational. Things that seem right. Things that we can justify. By the way, if you think you can't be deluded, then you already are, I guess. I could actually tell you a number of reasonably well-known Christians who have pastored churches for decades and who are no longer following Jesus. Because at some point along the way, they've been tripped up, they've been hoodwinked, they've been deceived, deluded. That would also apply to Christian worship leaders. In fact, we sing some songs today written by someone who no longer believes in Jesus. It happens, doesn't it? Now, of course, it's normal to go through dry times. It's normal to kind of find ourselves occasionally in the wilderness. It's normal to long for more of Jesus. In fact, if we never have an inkling to have more of Jesus, then perhaps there's something wrong. But we're not to take that longing to the wrong well, as it were. There's only one well that satisfies. Of course, that is in Jesus. And that's Paul's concern for this church. Okay, this morning we're going to focus only on two verses, verses 6 and 7, which some commentators describe as a summary of the whole letter. And what I want to do this morning, a bit different, I suppose, we're going to look at each word or phrase in verse 6 and then paraphrase it. Try and make it more understandable, if you like. Very often in Paul's writings, he condenses things and he puts in a few words that are so kind of deep and you wonder, what is he really saying? So the plan this morning is to try to make verse 6 a little more understandable. And then verse 7 is basically how it works out, how this looks like, what this looks like in practice. So verse 6, let's put up verse 6. He says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. A number of translations begin with the word therefore. We have an NIV, so then. Okay, so then, or therefore. So Paul is immediately pointing us back to what he's already written. You know, from chapter 1, verse 1, right up to this point in chapter 2. So then, you know, in the light of all that I've already said. So a paraphrase might look something like this. In the light of all that I have written about the person and work of Jesus. Okay, that's just so then. Therefore. Okay? In the light of all that I have written about the person and work of Jesus. We're going to come to the command shortly, but the command, and it is a command, continue to live your lives in him. Now, how are we to do that? How are we to fulfill this command to continue to live our lives in him? Well, he says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Okay, so how do we receive Christ Jesus as Lord? What is a kind of, how does that happen? Any?
Believing in him.
Yep, believing in him. I was thinking of a word beginning with F.
Faith.
Faith. It is by faith, isn't it, we are saved? It is by faith that we receive Jesus Christ as Lord. So do bear that in mind. It is by faith that we receive Jesus. Therefore, it is by that same faith that we continue to live our lives on him. In him. Okay, we'll come back to that in a moment. Let's just take a moment to look at this phrase, Christ Jesus the Lord. It'd be so easy just to kind of skip over that because we see that so often, don't we? Well, actually, you never see it. That is never in the Bible. Well, not in that order, anyway. It's the first, the one and only times it comes in that order. So let's look at them one at a time. Christ. What would a Jewish audience think about when they hear Christ? The Messiah, isn't it? The promised one from the Old Testament. The one who's going to come and save us and rescue us, deliver us. The anointed one. You know, the one that Israel was pinning all its hopes on. And then we have Jesus. That was his name, wasn't it? Reminding us that he was born of a woman. In other words, it's a man, it's a fully man, okay? The promised one, Jesus, the man. And then we have the Lord, which in Greek is Kyrios, and actually it's the most widely used name of God in the whole of the Bible. You know, the Lord said, or the angel of the Lord, or, you know, the Lord, that is God. So let's go back to our paraphrase. In the light of all that I have written about the person and work of Jesus, in the same way you received the Anointed One, Jesus, fully man and fully God by faith. And then we have the actual command. Continue to live your lives in him. You started with faith. Now continue to live in faith, by faith. And then there's that little phrase, in him. Again, it's so easy just to kind of, you know, allow that to bypass us. John Stott says something which I think is very interesting. He said, the word Christian only occurs three times in the Bible. So in the Bible, we are not called Christians. Well, we are, only three times. The commonest description of a follower of Jesus in the scriptures is that he or she is a person who is in Christ. The expression in Christ, or in the Lord, or in him, occurs 164 times in the letters of Paul alone. To be in Christ is not to be in the body of Christ, as tools are in a box, or as clothes are in a wardrobe. It means to be organically united to Christ, as a limb is on the body, or a branch is on the tree. Now, I do think it's important we try to understand this, because that's how the Bible describes those who know Jesus. You know, just like my arm is attached to my body, you know, you and I, if we believe in Jesus, we are united with Jesus. We are attached to him, we are connected to him, we belong to him. And that is forever, for all eternity. But we don't always live as if we were. We don't always, if we're honest, live like we are intentionally depending upon him. Okay, so we're going to continue. We are to continue to live in him. So let's complete the paraphrase. Verse 6. In light of all that I have written about the person and work of Jesus, you know, all that he is, all that he's done for you, in the light of that, In the same way you received the Anointed One, Jesus, fully God and fully man and fully God by faith, continue by faith to live your life dependent upon Him. Remember, Paul is concerned for them. He's concerned that people might just come in and kind of twist the message of Jesus ever so subtly. You don't need to depend on Him, or whatever it might be. You're slightly rearranging the gospel message, and it becomes no gospel at all. If you prefer a shorter paraphrase, by the way, and you may well do, perhaps it would look a bit like this. All of Jesus, all the time, by faith. That's what he's saying. That's how we are to live. All of Jesus, all the time, by faith. But Paul doesn't leave us there. How does it work? What does it look like? So that takes us into verse 7. He says, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So four things, which I'll just comment on very briefly. So it's rooted, built up, strengthened, and overflowing. Rooted. You know, if we're not going to be easily deceived, then we need to be well rooted, don't we? If we're not going to fall for these kind of fine-sounding arguments, as Paul puts it. I mean, when you think of roots, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Plants, yeah, tree, fruit. We need roots, don't we? Without roots, I mean, the plant's not going to grow anyway, but the roots keep the plant strong and upright. Otherwise, you know, nourish the tree, producing fruit, as you say. So we are to be rooted in Him. The Christian life is about sending down deep roots into Jesus, into all that He is, all that He's done, all that He's promised. Going deep into Jesus, being rooted in Him, built up. Jesus is the foundation. Built up, to me, kind of gives the idea of progress. No, we're not to stand still. Built up. You know, it's progressing, isn't it? Are we progressing in our Christian life? A bit like a baby might begin with milk, but it doesn't stay on milk for too long, does it? It soon develops an appetite and an ability to take on solid food. And then after a while, you don't need to spoon feed the baby. It can somehow manage to do that by themselves. You know, where are we? Are we growing? Are we progressing in our faith? Then strengthened. Notice he doesn't say strengthened in faith. Okay, it's not our faith that's to be strengthened, or to become stronger. Strengthen in the faith. So he's referring to our objective truth, if you like, our objective understanding of who Jesus is. The kind of basics of who Jesus is. You know, the eternal Son of God. The one who left heaven to come to earth as a baby. Fully God, fully man, dying for our sin, rising from the dead, one day coming back again. We know he's talking about that because he goes on to say, as you were taught, the things you learned at the beginning about who Jesus is. There are other words that can be used for that as well. Established, become more secure, assured, convinced of. Be strengthened in those things. Perhaps keep reminding yourself of those things. And then overflowing with thankfulness. To overflow is to abound, isn't it? It's a picture of a river where the banks have been burst. And I guess we're fairly familiar with that kind of picture. Where the water's spread out beyond the river itself. And fields, nearby fields, are covered, flooded with water. Overflowing with thankfulness. Perhaps that's one of the clearest marks of spiritual growth. Are you full and overflowing with thankfulness, with gratitude for all that Jesus is? And all that he's done and all that he's promised. See, it's to be all of Jesus all the time by faith. Just as we receive Jesus, the Lord, Christ Jesus, the Lord, by faith, Paul says, continue to live your lives in him by faith. And as we do so, those characteristics will become much more evident in our lives. So we come to God by faith, and we continue to live by faith. Not by our own understanding, not by what we think is best, but by faith, by trusting the one who does know best, by surrendering to him, as we did at the beginning when we first entrusted our lives to him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time we've been able to share together as brothers and sisters in Christ, reminding ourselves, Lord, that you are good, you're faithful, you are our eternal God. You are the one and only true God. Father, we thank you for the faith that's been handed down to us from past generations. And Father, we pray that you would help us to kind of heed what the Apostle Paul was saying. Lord, that we would be those who continue to live our lives in him, just as we received you by faith. Lord, would you help us to continue to live by faith, by depending upon you. So we bless you, Lord. You are the faithful God. And we do entrust ourselves again to you for all that lies before us. Lord, thank you for your promise to always go with us and to never leave us. Would you help us, Lord, as we go into this week? Help us to serve you, to live our lives for you, and to see your kingdom come and your will being done through us and in us, for your honour and for your glory. So receive our thanks, Lord, this morning. Receive the worship that we've presented to you. Lord, may that have come from our hearts and be pleasing to you. So we ask now your blessing upon us, the blessing of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.